This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 14th of December 2018. I'm Jamie Veitch and I'm your host for the next hour. Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme.
Business Live. We are broadcasting live through Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. However you are listening, the programme is also, of course, available as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website. So, talking podcasts, who was on last week? Chloe Watmore was in the studio. She runs Thermatex Engineering and she talks about thermal challenges. What are those, you may ask? Well, it was quite thermally challenging this morning. It was about minus one when I came in earlier on today. That is not a thermal challenge, not to Chloe anyway. Think minus 60 or plus 1200 degrees. Ooh, that's chilly, that's warm. Anyway, her business helps organisations, helps businesses deal with and mitigate the risks of those thermal challenges. She's grown the company from 6 people to 25 staff and won work all over the world in the 2 years that she's been MD. If you want to know how she did that and how she's managed a process of significant change, then check out the podcast of last week's show. It's up on the Sheffield Live website. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live, and it is there. But that was then. This is now. Who is on the programme today? Well, I have two great guests with us. Al Dore is making a return visit to the studio. He was last on the programme talking about kickoff at the Soviet Football Festival around the time of the World Cup this summer. But he's come in to talk about something else. What's he got up his sleeve? Well, you'll have to stay tuned to halfway through the programme to find out. But before Al, we have Rob Cole in the studio. I'm really looking forward to speaking with Rob, and we will welcome him to the microphone in just a moment or two. But before we do that, what's been going on with you? What's been going on in business and social enterprise? I just wanted to flag up that the Real Junk Food Project Sheffield, who, as you'll know, have been on the show in the past and who are crowdfunding at the moment to support their Sharehouse project. They're over 50% of the way there. And they're an amazing organisation. They're a social enterprise. They save tons and tons of food from being wasted. Really good quality food coming from supermarks like Waitrose, Marks and Spencer, Amazon warehouses, coming from train companies, coming from all sorts of co-op, all sorts of other businesses. And the food is perhaps close to its sell-by date and would otherwise be destined for landfill. But the Real Junk Food Project ensure it doesn't get wasted. It goes to the Sharehouse Market up at Burngreave. It also goes to their two cafes, including the Steeple Corner Cafe, with meals available on a pay-as-you-feel basis. And it's even used in their gourmet catering operations. And they're crowdfunding right now. I've chucked some money in to support their project because I really think what they're doing is fantastic. They're well over half of the way there. And if you're looking for something fantastic in Sheffield to support this festive season, then take a look at the Real Junk Food Project. The other thing I just wanted to flag up is the dreadful situation that over 24,000 people in Britain will spend the festive period sleeping rough or in cars, tents, buses or trains, according to new estimates and research by the charity Crisis. And as you'll know, there are a couple of organisations in Sheffield, Roundabout and the Cathedral Archer Project, which do an enormous amount to support homeless people and young people here in Sheffield. And again, if you're looking for an organisation worth supporting or working with this Christmas, then perhaps take a look at Roundabout or the Cathedral Archer Project. Right. Now, what's been going on with you? What's been going on with your business or social enterprise? You can get in touch. Just drop me a line. Send a message to Jamie at sheffieldlive.org. A text to 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, Jamie Veitch. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. We're always keen on hearing from you. And without further ado, I'm going to welcome our first guest into the studio, Rob Cole of Sheffield Sustainable Kitchens. Good morning.
Morning, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for coming in today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, a bit tired. It's been a long week, but yeah, getting ready for a nice break over Christmas.
Yes, absolutely. I should think you are. You've been having a pretty busy time, and praise and accolades are coming your way. Unstoppable. Congratulations. Perhaps I can ask you to introduce the most recent praise, the most recent accolades from the Sheffield Business Awards.
So, we were absolutely delighted about 2 weeks ago to win the Sheffield Business Award for Corporate Social and Environmental Responsibility, which, you know, was a bit of a surprise. It maybe shouldn't have been. We do some fantastic stuff, certainly environmentally and on the social side as well. But it's so lovely to get some real recognition for that. I've been running the business for nearly 11 years now, and it's amazing having something official sort of saying that we're doing this great work. So, we're all absolutely delighted. I'm really proud of the team at Sheffield Sustainable Kitchens.
I bet you are. Well done. It's fantastic, and a real credit to you and to the team. So talk me through then. What was the sort of basis of your entry to the Sheffield Business Awards? What did you say? Look, we deserve some recognition.
So really, I mean, the company was founded on a basis of environmental and social responsibility.
Yes.
We use a lot of high recycled content materials. We use reclaimed timber, local timber, and we use those to create beautiful high-end, mid to high-end bespoke kitchens, which are well-designed, built to last. So we're aiming for our kitchens to last 20, 30 plus years, really, rather than being torn out and thrown away in 5 years, which seems to be the attitude with a lot of places, unfortunately. So the environmental thing's really important. Obviously, we do all we can as a business as well. Our fleet is 2/3 electric now, which is fantastic, and we're hoping to increase that over the next 6 to 12 months as well.
Yes.
The social side of things, so there's a whole load of things on that. We do a lot of work with other charities where we can and things like that. So we work with Endeavour. We've been doing a lot of work with this year, and we're planning more with them into the new year. And they do fantastic work with young people who are sort of outside of the mainstream education for one reason or another, and upskilling them and trying to get them, get them through to a point where they can be employed and
yes,
have a better start through life than they've already had, perhaps.
Great. So environmental and social impact that you are creating, running this thriving business. And you mentioned that Sheffield Sustainable Kitchens was founded 11 years ago. You set up the business 11 years ago. And there's everything you do really follows this mantra or this vision or mission of for the long term. So,
absolutely.
So not disposable. And we are seeing so much in life that people are returning to the idea of buying for quality, buying for the long term, and so on.
Absolutely. I think it's really important. There's been a real, I think it is changing, as you say, but there's been a real attitude for a long time of just buy it, wait till it's broken and chuck it away.
Yep.
And thankfully, people are realising that we can't afford as a society to do that.
No.
We can't afford as a planet to do that. It's becoming more and more clear. So it's fantastic that people are moving towards that attitude and buying things that are really well built, really well designed and built to last and keep on going. So
absolutely. Great. So tell me then, Rob, about founding the business and setting it up and running it for 11 years and the exciting pieces of that journey and ups and downs on the way.
So, I started the business just nearly 11 years ago. Initially, when I started the business, it was just myself. I'd been fitting kitchens for other companies.
Yeah.
I'd sort of trained up to do that after I'd finished my geography degree.
Yeah.
And I was getting frustrated with the places I was working for, to be honest. I was sort of contracting, but there was this really real throwaway attitude. There was really perfectly good quality stuff getting pulled out, thrown in skips, chucked away, which just seemed insane to myself when they could have been refurbishing it. And then some of the new stuff that was getting put in wasn't as great quality as the stuff that had just come out. And this just seemed absolutely bonkers to me, to be honest.
Yeah.
So one of the companies I was doing a bit of work with went down the pan, and I got approached by a couple of people to design kitchens for them and thought, well, I know my way around a kitchen. I love cooking myself. I've fitted a huge amount of kitchens myself at that point. And I decided I'd design them these kitchens, and it all went from there, really. The sustainable side to it was something that was sort of a bit of a no-brainer for me, really. I've always cared about the environment. I've campaigned positively to reduce carbon emissions, things like that, since I was probably about 12 or 13, to be honest. So,
yeah.
So that side of it was just an obvious thing for me. So I just sort of went out looking for ways I could make what we did as a business more environmentally conscious. So I found some great materials with high recycled content. found some great sort of local timber and things like that, and slowly sort of built up a way of doing things differently.
Yes.
So first few years it was just myself, so I was designing, selling, the whole lot really, all the customer service, everything. And then after the in the following years, the company sort of steadily grew. And then we've had some really rapid growth over the last 3 or 4 years, from 5 staff to the current level of staff at 15. And we're looking to create more jobs over the next few months.
Yes.
And also looking to move into bigger premises so we can do more of the great stuff we do. So,
well, that's fantastic. That is great. So when you moved from 0 to 5 staff, or when you perhaps first went from only you to taking on the first 1 or 2 people, that must have felt like a big jump in itself.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing has been it's been a fantastic journey, but it's the learning curve is very steep the whole way through for the last sort of 11 years. And I'm still learning every day now, you know, I think every day is a school day. So, it was a big step starting to employ people, definitely. And, you know, completely different and new challenges. I think, I've learned a lot about how to run a business. I think, you know, looking back at myself 10, 11 years ago now, I do feel I was quite clueless really on the business side of things. I knew how to fit a kitchen. I think I was, you know, knew what I was doing with designing it, but I wasn't very business savvy. I'd never had any sort of natural business training. So I think, it took me a few years to get my head around that probably. And I think things have obviously moved on a lot more rapidly since I've gained some of that knowledge, I guess. So,
yes, absolutely. But isn't that quite common, I think? And many folk have talked about that on this programme as well. If you're an expert at a certain thing, so expert at doing something, that doesn't mean you're an expert at running the business of doing that.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And as I say, I think the steepest learning for me has been on learning how to run a business effectively, how to manage people and be a leader for my business, which is, you know, I think when you are quite small, it's quite different as well. You know, you have values and everyone understands your values and it's very easy. And whereas as you get a bit bigger, I think it's more of a job to try and make sure that everyone is in line with those values for the business, and it's a different kettle of fish completely. But it's been a lovely journey as well. So
yes, well that's great, absolutely super. And you now do some mentoring, some support for other people as well, don't you?
Absolutely, yes. So I get involved with the organisation Common Purpose, who do a lot of courses, and I go and speak to young business students and things like that. I've done a bit of recently, and I also do some mentoring through the Launchpad mentoring scheme, which is sort of South Yorkshire, the Sheffield City region, and who basically link up mentors with mentees. So the mentees are usually people who I think their business has been going for less than 2 years, and they, you know, they're trying to work out themselves how to do that, and hopefully they can learn from some of my experience. And I think as a business owner, still even now, I find it really, really, really useful being able to go and talk to someone outside the business and bounce ideas off them. And I think I really lacked that in the earlier days. I think that would have been a real help to have more of that for myself then. So it's really nice being able to go and help other people work out the issues and problems that they need to resolve to grow their businesses successfully and create more jobs as well.
Absolutely. That's great. So you are helping other people, but you are now still doing it yourself. You are going and bouncing ideas off people. You've got a peer-to-peer network.
Absolutely.
Or a mentoring network of your own.
Yeah, so I've grown my network significantly over the last few years, and still I still get great help from outside, and I'm still trying to grow my network as well. You know, there's always new people to meet, and everyone's got their own sort of experience, which is really valuable. So
And I know one way you're doing that involves being outside, breathing fresh air, and talking with people in a beautiful environment whilst having a walk. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So myself and Karen Perkins, who's a coach and mentor, we sort of got in touch recently with each other, and there used to be an event called Networking that ran in Sheffield. Had unfortunately sort of slowed down and sort of stopped running, and we got in touch with each other and decided we'd try and restart this. So a few months ago, we went and had our first sort of networking event. We meet up at Encliffe Park Cafe. We all introduce ourselves, and then we have a nice casual walk up to the Forge Dam, turn around, wander back again, chat to lots of different people as we go, and then sit around and have a coffee afterwards and chat more and do some more networking. It's been great. So we've grown. First event, we had sort of 3 or 4 people along, and last time we had 12. The next event is in January, on Wednesday the 16th of January, if anyone wants to come along. We're meeting at 9:20 in the morning, just outside the Encliffe Park Cafe. So everyone's welcome. We have a the main focus is sort of environmental sustainability, ethical and well-being. So if there's something going on with that with your business or whatever, then we'd definitely welcome you along. But we're really open to anyone. So yeah, if you want to come along, meet some people and network in a bit of a different way, then please come and join us.
That sounds great. We'll flag that up again at the end of the interview as well, so people can save the date and so on. But people can simply turn up. You don't need to.
Absolutely. Just turn up. If you want to get in touch with us, then you can email myself, rob@ssk.uk.com. But yeah, we do welcome you just to turn up on the day. That's that's absolutely fine. And it's there's something really nice about networking in that way whilst you're moving. I think the conversations you have are very relaxed. So we do this very little introduction at the start, and then we all just walk, and people naturally sort of shift around groups. And if there's if there's a slight break in the conversation, it's not that sort of awkward thing. Oh, do I need to move on to the next person? Which I sometimes find in the more traditional forms of networking, I suppose. So, and I think the conversations flow more. There's something different about how we talk when we're moving and walking. So,
brilliant! It sounds absolutely great, and there's an invitation, folks, in terms of January. Go along and have a walk, have a chat and so on. And we'll flag that again in a couple of minutes or a few minutes, if we may, Rob. So,
fantastic, yeah.
Good stuff. There's so much more I want to ask you about the business as well, though. You you talked about your fleet now, a large proportion of the fleet being electric vehicles. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, yeah.
And we're seeing that... after years of vehicles being diesel has dropped. Folk have realised how environmentally damaging it is. And electric vehicles are certainly gaining in popularity and becoming more affordable to both businesses on leases, how businesses mainly run vehicles, and to individuals. Do you predict then that... they'll be in reach to sort of even more businesses sooner?
Definitely. So, I mean, the government has set a very unambitious, I think, target of 2040 to be, not producing any more non-electric vehicles.
Yeah, that's really unambitious, isn't it?
I think it is very unambitious. And I think, I think realistically we'll see the change happen much sooner. Mm. I think there's been a huge amount in the media about how damaging air pollution is as well. And I think that's one of, living in a city which has got pretty serious air pollution problems. Yeah. That's one of the key drivers for me personally and for me sort of running the business as well, that I don't want to be contributing to that. And, our business is just on Edgedale Road, just off Abbeydale Road.
Yeah.
And Abbeydale Road, regularly breaches EU guidelines on dangerous particulates and air quality. So, and it's, we know that's damaging people's lives, and we know that people are dying prematurely as a result of that, which is hugely serious, I think. And we all, and I think that's part of the driver why people are trying to make the switch themselves before they've been pushed. And in spite of the fact that I don't think there's as much incentives as there probably should be from the government for people to be making that switch as well. So,
no, indeed, there doesn't appear to be. And we've seen the same with green energy as well and renewable energy. And, I'll ask your opinion on this rather than I'll ask you a leading question. What's your opinion about government incentives with regards green energy and renewable energy?
Again, I think they've totally failed, unfortunately. I mean, there were some quite good incentives a few years back for people to put solar power on their houses and all the other, all the other green. So, I mean, I run the business completely on green energy, and I run my house at home almost entirely on sort of green and renewable sources of energy. Not quite. We do use a little bit of gas as well. There's no incentive really. And the cash incentive sort of is so long term now for putting solar panels on your house that I think it's putting a huge amount of people off. And I think that's a complete failure on the government's part. And I think it's a terrible shame. And I think it's not, it's still not as easy as it should be for businesses. We, we need a real serious push if we're going to, avert serious climatic disasters over the next 20 to 50 years, if not sooner. And, I think this government has totally failed on every level when it comes to the environment.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, some folk listening might say, yeah, but maybe it's not up to the government. It's up to us to do it. Look, IKEA are selling solar panels. If you want them, you can go and get them. What would you say if someone were to say that?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, I think we all need to take part in that. And I think we all need to take some ownership over that. But realistically, we need some leadership, and that's what the government are there for, and there is no leadership coming from them. And unfortunately, I think locally there's a similar picture, to be honest. I don't think we get the leadership from the council on these sort of issues that we really should be getting and we really deserve. And one of the interesting things, I think, with business, there's some fantastic talks at the awards a couple of weeks back about, you know, actually we need to take leadership ourselves as the business community and try and drive forward real positive change as businesses and as the community in whole.
And this is really interesting, isn't it? Because this is now about making stuff happen, and people used to be quite cynical about things like corporate social responsibility, and even cynical about things like the awards that your business has won. 5-10 years ago, people would have looked at us, a business proudly proclaiming it had won a CSR award, and said, greenwash, you know, yeah, you're virtue signalling, you don't do anything. Whereas now, those awards are judged by people taking them very, very seriously. I do think it's a major achievement that you've won that award, clearly.
Thank you. Yeah.
I do think it's a lot more meaningful than it would have been perhaps a few years ago. With no disrespect to the Sheffield Business Award, I don't think they actually offered the award themselves 5 years ago, but I just mean in general a CSR award a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now it is more meaningful, and that's driven by businesses saying we have a responsibility, we have an impending climatic disaster, by individuals knowing we have a responsibility. And like you're saying, if we don't have leadership, if we don't have local or national level politicians making stuff happen or committing us to targets or helping us reach those targets, we're all going to have to do it ourselves on an individual, a community, a business level.
Absolutely.
And so on.
But I was probably very cynical myself 10 years ago about, you know, seeing businesses saying, oh, we're doing this fantastic stuff. And, you know, I was very critical. I probably looked at it with a very critical eye and, you know, really wanted to make sure that they were doing stuff, and often found things, you know, running a bit short really on that. But, you know, genuinely around me these days, I look at other businesses that I naturally probably wouldn't be expecting to be doing these great things. And I find it's really positive boost to see that, you know, the likes of like Grant Thornton are doing some fantastic stuff in the city. And, you know, they're not the businesses I would have been highly cynical if I'd seen something like that. But I'm seeing them doing really positive, real things that are, and they're doing them for the right, genuinely right reasons, I think. And that's really, really positive. And yeah, I suppose it fills me with hope, I guess, that we can actually, you know, make changes and, yeah, solve the problems of the local and the global.
Well, I really hope we can. I really do hope we can. And this has brought us on to an interesting topic, and a topic that I'd like to ask you about, if I can, which is, if you were handed political power and responsibility, which I know is a topic that you can talk about with some degree of expertise, actually.
Absolutely. So I have had involvement with the Green Party in the past. I'm still a member at the moment. I've not done anything sort of active for quite some time, but I've stood for council before and didn't get far off getting in Nether Edge and Charrow a few years ago, and also stood against Nick Clegg in the general election back in 2005 when I was somewhat younger and more fresh-faced, I think. But so I have got some experience of that side of things. I guess I sort of see my political role at the moment as being more with my business hat on, really, rather than with a party political hat on. So,
yes. But you are showing, you are demonstrating to anyone listening, to your customers, to other businesses throughout the city region, and of course you're getting publicity actually all over the place, you're demonstrating that you can run a sustainable, ethical business that is financially viable. That this isn't simply idealism, that you can employ and create 15 jobs and do the right thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's not to say it's necessarily the most easy to sort of, you know, drive forward with ethics and things like that. But absolutely, I feel we are doing that. And it is possible for everyone to do that, I think. And I think, you know, we all need to work together, and hopefully, you know, more businesses will recognise that they can do that as well. And yeah. It drives us all in the right direction.
Super. Okay, brilliant. Well, I'm going to wrap up, if we may, with just a couple of rapid-fire questions, Rob.
Okay.
And I think in some respects, you've probably answered these already, but let's just make sure we've got everything covered, if that's okay. Fantastic. First of all, 10 years, nearly 11 years, so a decade in business. You've talked about the learning along the way. Is there anything that perhaps you haven't mentioned that you'd like to mention about what you know now that would have been really helpful to have learned or known at the start or earlier on in the business journey?
I think probably the key thing that I really didn't get right at the start, I think, was marketing and advertising. And I sort of had this little predicament for a while where I'd either not have enough cash to actually put any sort of time into it and to sort of spending on it, or I didn't have enough time and I, you know, had the money to do it but not the time. So I think the key thing I would go back and tell myself is put some money into marketing, spend some time on it, and, you know, get my name out there. Because as soon as I did start doing that, it became a lot easier and the work started flowing in. But there's endless things I'd go back and tell myself, you know, whether I'd listen back then or not is another matter. But yeah.
Okay, so that's great advice, actually, and really, really helpful advice, I think, as well. And in terms of the buying decision commission you to come and build a kitchen in someone's house, a buyer's coming to you and they're looking at pictures on your website. Are they Googling and finding you? Are they reading about you in the media? Are they being referred to you by their friends and so on? I mean, I presume it's all of those.
Absolutely all of the above. So we don't have a sort of showroom currently. Hopefully one of the things we'll be able to do when we've got more space is put a showroom in, so yes, people can come through the door. And we still get people coming through the door at the moment, coming and have a chat with us and have a look around the workshop and things. But yeah, we get a lot of work through the website. So that's also the digital showroom. And we've got some fantastic pictures of our work up there. All of the stuff on the website is our own work, which I think is pretty important. We also get a lot of referrals as well, so we've got loads of fantastic customers who are very happy to recommend us, and we'll let people come and have a look at their kitchens as well for us, which is very kind of them. So yeah, all of the above. And yeah, and also, you know, we've had quite a big profile in the media this year, celebrating our 10th birthday, winning awards and all sorts of other bits and bobs as well. So so I think, yeah, people hear us all over the place, which is great. So
superb, brilliant. Well, Rob, it's been great speaking with you. Congratulations on reaching such a significant milestone, celebrating 10 years, nearly 11 now, winning these awards. Absolutely brilliant. Where Fantastic. Can people find out about you? Do you want to give out the website
thank
address?
You, Jamie. Our website is www.ssk.uk.com. But you can also find us on Twitter at SSK Design, on Facebook if you search Sheffield Sustainable Kitchens, and also Instagram and LinkedIn. So
brilliant, super. And come along also to networking. And do you want to just give
Absolutely.
The date out again as well?
So it's Wednesday the 16th of January at 9:20 outside the Ancliffe Park Cafe. Come along, introduce yourself and come for a bit of a walk with us and a bit of a network.
Fantastic. Rob Cole, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
And you're listening to Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme, with me, Jamie Veitch. Rob Cole has been on the programme with us this morning. We're going to play a track of music chosen by Rob. This is Moloko. The track is The Time Is Now. You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme, with me, Jamie Veitch. On the show this morning, we've been talking with Rob Cole of Sheffield Sustainable Kitchens. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed Rob, then don't panic. The podcast will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. But who do we have in the studio with us now? We have Al Dore. Good morning, Al. Thanks so much for coming back into Sheffield Live. You were last on this summer, weren't you?
Yeah, it was slightly warmer.
It was a bit, wasn't it? Yeah, it really, really was. So last time you were here, we were talking about Kickoff. You were running an immersive Soviet-themed football festival in the Aberdale Picture House. And, well, I know it went really well, but from your point of view, how did it go?
Yeah, it went well. It was I thought England would do quite well, but I didn't want to sort of broadcast it too much. But now I can because they did okay.
Yeah.
So it was worth doing, and it was really busy, and a lot of I think over like 10,000 people came through, and loads of people who hadn't been into the cinema before, loads of families, loads of different sort of demographics from around Sheffield. So it's great, yeah.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, sounds great. And I know it went well, so brilliant. But we've invited you in today because new and other exciting plans are afoot. regular listeners might recall, you're an artist yourself, and you expressed an interest, an ambition to open a space when you were last on the programme here in Sheffield. Now, you have found and opened and are developing a space. It's not very far, actually, from our radio studio here. Sydney and Matilda, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so basically I was looking for a space. I had a small studio just near the moor, and I was looking for a space that would be a studio and then hopefully a space to show other people's work and promote art that's local, regional, national, international. And I was looking for space, and then something came up, which is on Sydney Street, which is across from the Birdhouse in... quite a knackered building, it must be said, next to an even more knackered building. But this is kind of how these things happen, I guess.
Yeah.
And the name, it was going to be called something completely different, but given it sort of straddled two streets, Sydney Street and Matilda Street, it made sense to go with that name. And,
yeah.
That's where we are. So I took that on in the 1st of September, and then it's... pretty much there in terms of being able to house an exhibition. So the timing is quite strange for a show, I guess, because it's so close to Christmas. But
yeah,
it definitely, I think it works with the theme that we're working with.
I'm going to ask you about a show in a minute, because I know it sounds really, really interesting, really exciting.
Yeah.
But you are at the sort of... cutting edge of, oh gosh, I hate myself sometimes when I use phrases like cutting edge.
So do I.
Thank you.
I don't hate you for saying it.
I think we can all join in hating me.
No, that's not.
But honestly, okay, let's rephrase that. You're now in a really exciting part of town.
Yeah.
A really, really exciting part of town because, like you say, you're opposite the Birdhouse. There's ever such a lot going on down there and down here. You've taken on what you said was maybe a slightly knackered building, but you're going to, you know, you're making stuff actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, that's probably doing it a disservice. It's about 100 years old. I think it's had a... you know, very eclectic life. It's been all sorts of stuff. I think a joinery, a paper factory, sort of dodgy car, respray, cut and shut kind of place. All sorts. But yeah, aesthetically, it's great. You know, it sort of screams gallery space as soon as you walk in.
Right.
And that's the idea, really.
Yes. Brilliant, absolutely. So, what's the vision for the gallery in the sort of short and medium term? Beyond, and we'll talk about the immediate short term in a moment in terms of the exhibition.
Sure.
But what's the vision for what the gallery is?
So, I guess the vision for the gallery is, I mean, I was in London for about 10 years, and I worked and lived in Berlin for a little bit, Paris for a little bit, studied in America for a bit. So, I've sort of got a real wide kind of perspective on different ways of doing things with regards to spaces, exhibitions, I guess events as well and things like that. And I think given the climate, and particularly in Sheffield as well, there isn't that many, if any, commercial galleries. I think that you can count on one hand, definitely, on a couple of fingers, I think. And it's completely independent, so it's self-funded. So the idea was to do... kick off, try and generate a profit, put that into the space. I also did like some film screens as well in Millhouses Park to also chip into the space. And it's got to be sustainable, and it can't just be something that just opens and closes. So it does have to be a business of sorts. So there needs to be a facility to sell work, which is pretty conventional for commercial galleries. But then on also there's to complement it, the idea is that it's a social club for creatives or like-minded individuals. So that's kind of the next phase in hopefully the first quarter of 2019 is to sort of expand the space. So there's a basement and a couple of small spaces as well as this sort of warehouse gallery space. So the idea is connect it all. I've actually built a small bar in there as well to add to the to complement the exhibitions and to give people a place to hang out, socialise, talk about ideas, and the idea is that it's a members. It kind of contradicts what I would want to do, which is create an accessible destination for people. Exhibitions will always be open to everybody, but the idea is that the club will be for members only. So there'll be a subscription, and within that there'll be different perks that are all related to the gallery. So it could be talks, events, could also be trips to other galleries that are connected through the network.
Right, exciting stuff here. So an open gallery, open to anyone, accessible.
Yeah.
A members club as well. And members clubs are thriving in other cities, in London and Manchester particularly, as a place for people to socialise. And from the business perspective, the people running them know that actually they have perhaps a more stable income stream from member subscriptions than from people who may or may not turn up on a Friday or a Saturday night or whatever, which can cross-subsidise, I suppose, other stuff that you do.
Sure, yeah, I mean, most galleries would look at funding from the outset and potentially not even be able to start a project because of that limitation. And also there's a limitation because it's public funds with regards to what the shows are, how the space works, how it looks, who you let in, who you don't. Whereas with this, there's really no restrictions other than I don't know, licensing or something, but they're all, you know, formalised with the council and such, who are supportive so far. So.
Right, great, okay, yeah. And, you know, I mean, we're right next to the Site Gallery, which has been extremely successful in securing public funding from a variety of sources. Has just opened its expanded, massive new space. But that's a totally different type of space.
Sure, I mean, that site is incredible for Sheffield in terms of the building, the aesthetic, the kind of shows they're looking to put on. They're really ambitious, and I think it's great for the city to be able to provide something like that. And also it is a destination for people, so people in the region or beyond can get on a train and come in. And that's what's cool, because I'm down the road. Yeah. I'm only like a minute down the road, probably, from Site Gallery. So hopefully, I know it's the intention of the council to create a sort of hub of galleries, or like a creative corridor or cultural corridor, however it's referenced. And, you know, through no sort of intention, that's just happened with me being there, because it's worked out because of how sort of industrial the pockets of industrial buildings are still here, which is good.
Yeah, indeed. So great space.
Yeah.
So tell us more then about what's going on right now.
Sure. So now there's a lot of people covered in dust and paint and lights going up and all sorts. But the space is being developed, and we've actually got Block Gallery, who are our neighbours around the corner. Yep. They've actually got their Christmas party in the space this evening.
Yes.
So that's going to be fun, and there's actually still tickets for that. If you go on, just search for it, Block Gallery on Facebook.
Right.
You can still, it's free, and they've got all sorts of stuff going on. So a little plug there. But yeah, next week we've got a show at Bethlehem Boys Club, which is a follow-up to a show that I did in London a few years ago. And the initial idea, it was in Hackney, and it was a little time after the riots, and there was a lot of unrest politically and literally in the county, in the borough. And there was quite a few angsty kind of artists in that group, and some really kind of internationally well-known from art, music, and others lesser known like myself, or people who were just locally that I worked with. And then similarly with this, I've only been in Sheffield for about a year, but I've been really fortunate in some of the people that I've met. So met some really amazing artists locally. One of them, Paul Morrison, who's got a gallery out in Attercliffe, he's been really kind. He put me in an exhibition in the Graves Gallery called Heads Roll, which was really cool. And I'm sort of returning the favour, but also really lucky to have him in this show. And then there's also another chap who I've got to know quite well, who's a painter called Ryan Mosley, who does really interesting figurative painting work. He's in the show. So there's people like that who are local, but on a sort of international level, married with people who have, you know, small studios in Kelham Island, people who are in Block Studios, and also there's people from overseas as well. So there's a real mixed bunch of people.
Right, mixed, diverse bunch of people in the show. When does it open?
It opens next week. It opens on Tuesday, and it's open every day 10 till 6. And there's a launch party on the Friday, which you can register for on Facebook. Bethlehem Boys Club, it's called. So it's sort of tapping into the season of goodwill, kind of prodding it a little.
And playing,
there's some work in there that's quite political, but it's not a political show. It's kind of quite a fun show. We're kind of suffocated a bit with the politics at the minute, with Brexit and all the rest of it. So I think it should be some kind of pleasant escapism from that. Or Christmas shopping.
Pleasant escapism from Christmas shopping as well.
So, or you can shop there, actually. You can buy work there as well. There is an exit literally through the gift shop as well.
Right, oh yeah. in splendid art style.
Banksy style.
Good. So, exciting stuff, diverse, interesting event, fun, provocative in terms of as art should be and can be to make you think as well.
Yeah.
Without being suffocating us in political despair and despondency.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. And so the event is on... The show is on just for a few days.
So the show's on next week, essentially, but it's just how the sort of calendar's worked out. There'll be exhibitions next year and various events, but this one, I guess, is a good introduction to the space and the type of work that might be shown there, and also give the people of Sheffield and beyond an opportunity to see work that perhaps they wouldn't see in somewhere like Sack Gallery or any of the museums.
And it's different, it's complementary. Like you say, if this area of town becomes a cultural corridor, I mean, there's no point in someone trying to open something doing exactly the same as the gallery next door.
Sure.
They're all complementary. Site will benefit from people coming to see you and walking past site on the way back or on the way there and calling in.
Yeah.
You'll benefit from people going to see them as well.
Exactly. I think Block Studios have been there for decades. And they're very close to where I am.
Yeah.
So I guess culturally it's been a bit of a hub for creatives
anyway.
And some of the old cutlery factories still have studios, one of which I used to have. So there are loads of people working here, and I think there's a real definite DIY culture that's probably not shouted about too much, which can be tapped into and exposed to a point.
Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant. So get along, and you talked about Block's party tonight as well. Tickets still available on their Facebook page. But what about Sydney and Matilda and Bethlehem Boys Club? Have you got online presences that you can
give out? So sydneyandmatilda.com is the website. Facebook, one Instagram as well, but Facebook, we have an event for the launch party, which is next Friday. And there's a performance by a girl called Emily J. Electric. I'm not sure if that's a Christian name, but it's electronic flute and techno music sort of performance. And
that sounds brilliant.
And there's DJs, and also if you register, you get a free drink on the house as well, which is pretty.
You might be.
Well, it's generous. It's gonna.
You might be regretting you've said that.
I know, that's the thing. But the show's on all weekends as well, and. Like I said, all the art is actually for sale at various levels, and then in the gift shop there's loads of stuff that might be a suitable gift for somebody, potentially. Or it could be a good introduction to someone who wants to collect art. I know in Germany particularly, young people, it's kind of instilled in them to support the art of their nation, and I think it's just not like that in this country. So it'd be interesting to see if we can attract people like that.
That's really interesting, isn't it? In terms of if it is instilled from a young age to support independent creatives and artists. We're really good at supporting independent music in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Producers, DJs, going to gigs, going to independent gigs. Like you say, have a thriving independent art scene. Block have been there for years, and there are people who have successfully run community and commercial spaces. Yeah. I mean, commercial spaces, I can think of notably Coppola in Sheffield. But this idea that from a young age you can be collecting art because it doesn't have to be expensive to buy something really, really unique is...
Yeah, I mean, even the world's biggest collectors, arguably, particularly in America, you know, there's certain couples that have work from, you know, sort of people like Warhol because they were sort of hanging around with him, and that's why they bought the work, and it will have been cheap, and Basquiat and people like that. And I'm not saying that the next Warhol's in Sheffield. There might be, but I think, you know, if you start to look at art, it is a really incredible, not just an outlet in terms of making it, but to look at it and to support it.
Yes.
And to own it is a very, you know, it's an exciting experience, particularly for collectors.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that until you at least explore it, you won't, you know much about it, I think.
Mm. And that's sort of go for it because you love it, presumably.
Exactly. Yeah.
Rather than if you think it's going to.
This is it. I think this. I definitely think there's a bit of cynicism, and I think particularly in England and definitely in London, it's all about how much it's worth or how much it's going to be worth, and you know that's part of the conversation, I guess.
Yeah, and I suppose sometimes the commercial art world, and particularly in London, doesn't necessarily do itself any favours. But we're not talking about that kind of rarefied and exclusive type of art or art ownership, are we? We're talking about something entirely different. Well, I wish you all the best with it, Al. It sounds wonderfully exciting, Cindy and Matilda.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great show to... kick things off with Bethlehem Boys Club as well. Brilliant. Some parties, always a good thing. So get on down there. You're obviously thriving here in Sheffield. You talked last time you were on the programme about you mentioned at the start of the interview today about living all over the world and spending a lot of time in other cities and living in London for many years. And some folk will know that you you managed to run a festival on the massive roundabout in Shoreditch in the past a few years ago. You're here in Sheffield. You've made the city your home, and sound like you're loving things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at first I was sort of really felt quite sort of London, you go there and you are the smallest fish in the biggest pond, but I felt at Sheffield, as soon as I started talking to people, it was quite easy to make connections. People were very welcoming and also very honest as well, so feedback was pretty quick and sharp, which I appreciate. It's been amazing, and I just see so much opportunity in the city.
Brilliant. Well, I really appreciate you coming in today.
I really appreciate you
taking the time. If you want to go along to Sheffield's new independent art gallery and social club, Sydney and Matilda, then check out their debut show, Bethlehem Boys Club, which sounds really, really exciting. Outdoor of Sydney and Matilda, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and talk with us today.
Cheers.
And you've been listening to Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. On the show today, Al Dore, as we've just heard, talking about Sydney and Matilda. Fascinating to hear from Al, and great to welcoming back to the studio. And earlier we had Rob Cole of Sheffield Sustainable Kitchens on the programme talking about winning an award for social and environmental responsibility at the Sheffield Business Awards, and their history and the developments in business over the last 10, nearly 11 years. If you've only just tuned in to the programme and you've missed both of our guests, then you have missed a great treat. But don't panic, because the podcast will be up on the Sheffield Live website at about 11 a.m. So you'll be able to find it there. Go to sheffieldlive.org, look up radio shows, find Business Live, and have a listen. Whilst you're on the Sheffield Live website, you can browse an extensive array of fantastic programmes from all of our presenters. There really is a wealth of excitement and great music to enjoy and to explore. So have a look, have a listen, and have fun. So that's it for today's show, but we will be back on air next Friday, and we will be talking with Food Hall about some of their plans to support and work with people over the Christmas period. So I'm looking forward to that. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk, from 10 all the way through to noon. So do enjoy that programme. But we're going to play out now with a track of music which has been chosen by our second guest of the day, Al Dorr. The track is Dorothy Ashby, and it is Nabu Korfa. Al Dorr's in the studio. Do you want to give us a sort of 10-second intro to the track, or say what you like about it?
This just really cheers me up. It's been bloody freezing of late, and I think this just takes you to another place. It's a really nice track.
Fantastic. Well, Al, thanks for choosing it. Thank you for listening. Thanks also Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer. And let's have Nabu Korfa.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.